That verse that we just sang, as I shared with you a couple days ago, the context behind it, is that the disciples left everything to follow Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ requires from us that we turn to Him. That we repent, we turn from our sin, we leave everything He asks us to leave, whatever that may be in your life, and follow Him. And that's exactly what they did. And listen, it's not an easy thing to do. In fact, I would be quick to say that it's a very difficult thing to do. It is hard to leave things in your life and leave them behind and forsake them. But the wonderful thing is that the Lord Himself helps you to do it. When I stopped the drugs, He helped me to stop the drugs. When I stopped playing in the bars and playing heavy metal in the bars and all that stuff in a band, He helped me to do that because I wanted to give everything to Him. It's not like you give lip service to Him and then all of a sudden you just keep holding on to other things in your life. Now, He wants your entire life. He says, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. That's what He says. Those are hard words. He says in Matthew 7, enter by the narrow gate. A narrow way. It's a very confined, a very constricted way in coming to God. And again, if you don't come on His terms, then you don't come at all. He sets the standard. He sets the terms. Now, as we have been looking at this issue of test of salvation, we've already looked at continuing in right doctrine, living a pure life, enjoying fellowship with Jesus and His people, and being sensitive to sin. These are four areas that you can use to examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says that we are to examine ourselves, test ourselves, prove ourselves. You say that you're a Christian, Paul says proven. And you can. And you can know that you're a believer. Because 1 John 5:13 says that. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. So you can know whether you're saved or not. But the question is, are you willing to do the examination? Are you willing to do the test? Because see, this is so important. This is a life and death issue. This is a heaven or hell issue. And you don't want to get salvation wrong. There are a lot of people that believe that they're believers, that they're Christians, and they're not, and they're going to get a rude awakening when they die. When they don't wake up in heaven and they wake up in hell. And that's why in the Matthew 7 passage you hear this, Lord, Lord. Because in that passage, they were already in hell. In that passage, they're shocked that they're there. Because they prophesied in His name, they casted out demons in His name, they've done many wonderful works in His name. And so they're going, Lord, Lord, as in shock, why am I here? I did all of this, and I'm here? And Jesus says He will declare to them, I never knew you. Never. He never knew them. They never knew Him. And then He says this, you are workers of lawlessness. Lawlessness means to live as if there's no law. That's what we do. We ignore any of the rules and we live as if there are no rules. And we make our own rules. And here in the case of God's Word and God's commandments, He sets the standard. The bar is raised up very high. I mean, you hear how high it is in Matthew 5:43 when He says, you shall be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is a high bar right there. That's a high standard. God is demanding for me perfection? That's impossible. Ain't nobody going to be able to be perfect in this life. That's an impossibility. But the bar's there. And what you and I should realize, that if the standard is that high and we can't achieve that standard, that we fall and cry out for mercy from a holy God. asking Him in His mercy to save us. Now again, these are four tests that you can apply. Let me give you a fifth one. And it's simply this, and I ask it in a question. Do you tend to hate the world and its evil? Do you hate the world and its evil? 1 John chapter 2 gives us this, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You have a contrast going on here. The one who lives forever, the one who's going to be with God forever, is the one who does the will of God. But the one who loves the world is going to pass away with the world. And I shared this passage with you a few weeks back, and this passage is not talking about the physical world. It's not talking about humanity, but it's talking about the system of evil of which Satan is in control of. It's all the evil. Do you love the evil? Are you gravitating toward that? We tend to gravitate toward evil because of our evil nature. And so if we watch a TV show or we watch a movie and it's got a lot of stuff in there. It used to be a day when we didn't watch violence for entertainment, but now violence is entertaining. It used to be a day when you didn't see a dead person on the TV screen or in the movies, but now it's a commonplace and we become desensitized to those things. It used to be that we'd be in shock to see something like that. And the camera wouldn't even zoom fully in on what was going on. You were left with the assumption that this is what happened to them. But now we have a body produced. And if you go even further, you have other details that are produced that never made it to the screen. And that stuff appeals to the evil nature that we got from Adam. But this passage right here gives us this great warning not to love the world, not to love the evil system or the things that make up the evil system. And what are those things that make it up? He says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That hits everything in our life. Because it's the flesh that we do struggle with. It's the flesh that yearns and lusts and desires things that are evil. And then the lust of the eyes is the very eye gate by which it comes into us. And we look at things and we get self-gratification off what we look at. And some of you may be looking at things you shouldn't look at. Pornography or things like that. And the accessibility is even there now, more than it ever was. But see, that's a violation of God's word if you're doing that. And even in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says that we are not to give ourselves over to porneia. That's the Greek word porneia, where you get pornography. That you should know how to handle your bodies in sanctification and in honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. And so, how are you when it comes to the world? Are you drawn toward that? Are you drawn toward the evil? Do you tend to hate the evil? Well, let me give you another question. Are you obedient to God's word? These really go hand in hand if you think about it, because if you're doing things and being drawn to things and watching things and listening to things you shouldn't listen to, then you're going to have a lot of trouble with this question because you're not being obedient to the revealed word of God. But are you obedient? Do you do what it says? Listen to what this verse says in 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5. It says, now by this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments. Here's how you can know that you know him, that you know God, if you are obedient to his commandments. And we're not talking about just the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the whole summation of his word, because look what else he says. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his what? His word. Truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So are you obedient to his word? Are you obedient to what he says? You know, Jesus said this. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? I mean, if he is Lord, and if he is master, and if he is in control of your life, but you never do what he says, or you have no desire to do what he says, then why do you call him Lord? Why do you say you know him? Why do you say that you're a Christian? Truthfully, all you're doing is giving Christians a bad name. See, I even had one time here at Lighthouse, student, not here, but a student in another campus, constantly cussing. And there was at one point when that student brought their Bible to school. And constantly getting on to that student for cussing, and I finally said to that student, "You need to stop bringing your Bible. Because you're giving Christians a bad name. If you're not willing to do what's here, then why walk around with it? You're a walking contradiction. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for edification that may build up the hearer. And if you are one who has a filthy mouth, it's coming from a filthy heart. Are you obedient to the commandments of God? Are you obedient to His Word? Here's another question that we can ask. It has to do with the return of Jesus Christ. Are you waiting for His return? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? If He came right now, would you be ready? Would you have to say, no, I'm not ready. I have to clean up my life. I have to get things together because I'm really not ready. Look at this verse right here. It says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." If you're waiting for the return of Christ, then it's going to affect your life, and you're going to live a pure life. It's going to be seen in your life. So, look at these things we've covered so far. Here's how you can test whether you're really a Christian. Are you continuing in right doctrine? Are you living a pure life? Are you enjoying fellowship with Jesus and His people? Are you being sensitive to your sin? Are you hating the world and its evil? Are you obeying God's Word? And are you waiting for Jesus' return? These are valid tests that you and I can take. And we can pass these tests. And we can also fail it. You need to do the examination. No one can do this for you. You and I have to do this. And that's the demand of Scripture on our life. Let's pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we will take these tests, apply these to our life, ask ourselves these questions. Do these things characterize our life? And if they don't, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would turn to You in repentance and ask for Your forgiveness and commit our lives to You. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would do this examination in us. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.